Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, wishing you a very happy day. As we get into the Word of God for a few moments on this occasion, let's rejoice in Him always. He is the same God today as He was yesterday and will be the same God tomorrow, and He will never change. He changeth not. What an exciting thought. We change presidents and kings and queens. We change the heads of state and the monarchies of state. And we do all sorts of things thinking that we are so right. And yet God never changes. He is always exactly the same. And I want to talk today about saints that get dislocated. If you've ever had a dislocated shoulder or hip, you know how dreadfully painful it will be. And you're scared that it might happen again since it's been healed up. We think that when Jacob was wrestling with the angel of the Lord, who apparently some people say was the Lord Jesus Christ, to end the wrestling match, his opponent touched the inside of his thigh. They wrestled all night. And he had said, "I will not let thee go till thou bless me." And the blessing came through dislocation. His hip was dislocated, and from there on, he walked with a very marked limp. Now, it may be that people that love the Lord Jesus find themselves getting into some sort of sin. Sin creeps into the most beautiful people, and all of us have troubles with it. We have imaginations. We have sins that we actually delve into and get into. It's a great shame, but we do it. The Apostle Paul says, "There are things that I would, I do not. The things that I do, I would not." Then he asks the question, "Who shall deliver us from the bondage of this flesh?" Comes to the conclusion, "Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we know that when the deeds of the flesh are a pain in sin, we know that we serve those deeds and we become servants of sin. And it's not nice to be a servant unnecessarily. It's not nice to be somebody who is pushed and shoved around by all and sundry. But when a man sins and he gets dislocated, now, dislocation doesn't mean your arm or leg fall off. It just means that you're out of joint. You're out of step with the people around you. And I would like to share with you from Galatians and chapter 6 and verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let a man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." This is a terrifying thought. I have to bear the burden of getting dislocated. I have to bear the burden when I step out from the things of God and try to do things that are not to the glory and honor of the Lord. Now, I've had all sorts of experiences of people talking to me and justifying their sinfulness after they became a Christian. After they said, "Lord Jesus, I will be your follower. I will trust you. I will love you." And then, because they feel ever so guilty, they feel that God doesn't love them anymore and they walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not true, and I want to show you why it's not true. The word that we use here in Galatians 6:1 is, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault." And the idea in the word overtaken, it has with it the word surprise. It's surprising that such a man of God, it's surprising that such a woman that loved the Lord Jesus would get into such a condition that sin would enter into the life. It's necessary that Christians are to be the channel of healing. We need not to go to people and say, "You have been very wicked, therefore God's going to judge you." We need to be going to people and saying, in effect, there but for the grace of God go I, and let me encourage you out of this dislocation. Let me help repair the joint. Come back into the fellowship. To bring the sinning saint to the confession of sin. Now, I don't believe that it's necessary for us to go around fessing sin to all and sundry. But it is necessary that we confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is necessary that we fall down before God with great humiliation and great discomfort of soul and cry out to Him, Lord, help me. We all seek to build a building. And unfortunately, we sometimes don't build wisely. And so we will build our houses on sand. We will build our houses in canyons where if there's a flood of water, a flash flood, the house is going to get washed away. We will build our houses in places we should never even think about. And then we complain when disaster comes upon us. What is necessary for all of us, not just a few, but all of us, is to understand that we must not build our lives on sand. The sand of the Christian seems to approach us this way, that I know in whom I have believed. Now, my theology is right, so I'm strong. Yet in the very strength, Satan seems to be able to tweak us into the place of sin. It's a terrifying thought. And so the writer here, the Apostle Paul, says, ye which are spiritual, that is those of you that call yourself walking in the faith and living close to the Lord Jesus, you make sure that you who are spiritual go to the person who has been overtaken, been surprised by their own fault. One day in California, I was driving along a B road. I wondered whatever was happening to the car. I knew I was on the San Andreas fault line, but I wondered whatever was happening to my car. And it was sort of shuddering and shaking and doing all sorts of strange things. And then to my horror, I saw out of the side window in my peripheral vision a crack developing in the road. So I put my foot down and drove quickly to get to the next turn off so I could go into a different direction and get off this road. And for 2 or 3 miles, I had to accelerate and accelerate not to put my wheels down on the off side of the car into this crack that was happening. It was sudden. It was a fault that was very sudden. I didn't expect that to happen. So it is when sin overtakes a person. Now we are told that we are to be spiritual so that we can restore such a person, so that when the fault, the earthquake in their spiritual life happens, we can be there to catch them and to help them and to lift them up and set their feet upon the solid rock where they can start to rebuild what they were building on sand in a strong way. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the strength of our salvation. Jesus is everything. But we get carried away at times and we get caught up in a piece of theology, or we get caught up in some sort of carelessness, or we're just not very kind to those that we see around us don't meet the qualifications that we imagine are right. We need to be careful, because we who are spiritual, we who count ourselves to be prayerful, loving, kind Christians, we are called upon to discover the fault and then to pursue that fault. Not in criticism. The word restore literally means to reconcile factions or to set broken bones, to set a dislocation, to mend a net, to equip or prepare. Now, that's a mouthful, but that's exactly what the word restore means in Greek. And it's exactly what the apostle was teaching. It may be that the person that you want to restore or you want to see restored is a person who has broken some bones, dislocated their relationships, or it's like mending a net. A net that is broken open will cause fish to swim through the net and won't be caught. And we need to mend that net. We need to equip and prepare people for the tomorrows of their lives. To restore, to reconcile factions in a congregation of people. It is true that where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst, said Jesus. But unfortunately, in the midst of that sort of relationship, there are flaws. Let's go, just for a moment, into the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. You hear Peter being challenged by the Lord Jesus. He says, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter's answer is sort of semi-casual. He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. I love you. It's rather like saying to your wife when you've been married a long time, I love you. And it doesn't have any conviction or determination in the statement. You just say, oh, I love you. I wouldn't be here if I didn't love you. I wouldn't have bought a new washing machine or a new cooking machine or whatever it is that you've done, a vacuum maybe. I love you. That's a proof of my love. We do these things and we say these things carelessly and thoughtlessly. And the man that isn't in love, isn't committed in his love, will make it sound very casual. Peter did that. Now, Peter had denied his Lord three times, and so his Lord, it seems to me at least, wants him to three times recant. And he says to him a second time, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter's a little irritated at this point. You know I love you, just as the husband who has bought all these machines and things that he thinks are necessary in the home to make his wife's life a little easier. He says, you know I love you. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. And then we find Jesus asking a third time, Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter, do you love me more? And it appears as if he says, more than all these other things, more than all these people that are gathered round, more than fishing. And he says, yea, Lord. He sort of breaks down at this point. You know everything, and you know I love you. You know it, and you're questioning my love. I love you. But there is in the thought pattern of Jesus, it seems, that you said this once before to me, and when I was to be crucified, you ran off with the rest of the fellows and all forsook me and fled, and you were in that all. So Jesus asks him the third time, do you really love me? Now, having put all of that testimony to rest, having put all of those things aside, Peter then turns to Jesus and says, now, John, who rested his head upon your breast when we were having Passover together, you introduced communion of the utmost depth to all of us. He was your favorite. So what shall he do? There was Peter's fault again, and it showed itself. You're not asking him three times, yet he walked off. Although he stood with the women beneath the cross, but he sort of deserted you anyway. Now, what's he going to do? And the Lord Jesus said, there's nothing to do with you. What's it to do with you if I cause him to tarry until I return? So some of the fellows around that heard all this, they said, oh, John's not going to die. He's going to wait until Jesus comes, which would make John just over 2,000 years old now. Of course, John died. His body died, but his spirit was released into the presence of Jesus, and his soul rests with the Lord Jesus at this very moment in heaven. Jesus was trying to restore Peter. He was restoring him by making him recant. He was restoring him by causing him to consider all kinds of things that Peter, in the confusion of what had happened to the Lord Jesus, had forgotten. Now he's challenged. Now, if we're talking here to a born-again believer, a saint with sin in his life is not in correct relationship with Jesus. There's something fractured. He's dislocated. Not lost. He hasn't lost his salvation. He hasn't been turned away from the gates of heaven. Anything like that, as some people would like us to think. Instead, he has dislocated and needs to be restored, brought back into fellowship. I have dislocated my left arm on three different occasions. When people say, oh, well, I've stretched my shoulder out of joint, but I just twisted and it went back into joint, that's not a real dislocation. Let me tell you, you can lay your fist between the shoulder bone and the top bone of your arm if it's dislocated. And it hangs down like a gorilla's arm to your knee almost. There is no support holding that arm in its socket. It's out. It is excruciatingly painful. A person out of fellowship with Jesus is in an excruciating position. You see, he's born again, and yet the cares of this world have sought to choke him. Yet somehow the word of God that's been sown in his heart has found very shallow ground, and he isn't doing too well. And so there comes a time in his life where he discovers, I've got to get this dislocation repaired. And I want to talk to you about that, because it's necessary and it can be done. But the saint is still a member of the body of Jesus. Jesus is head of the body, and you may have a dislocated arm or a life of hindrance, a source of pain to the body and the head, heart pain to fellow saints. Now, what do we do with this? Well, if you go to the first epistle of John and chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9, you discover that the Lord Jesus is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and he is saying that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, you say, that's what I must do. I must confess my sin. Yes, to the Lord Jesus. Yes, to God Almighty. And if it will help you, yes, to the pastor who will guide you and lead you into proper relationship again with the Lord Jesus. Now then, we do face a problem, though, because saints run around saying, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. If you reread this piece of scripture, it's because they don't understand what God has said. The Lord has said through this piece of scripture in 1 John 1 and verses 7 through 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. You don't have to be saying, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, because your sins are forgiven. And you stand in a most remarkable place. Your sins, though they be wretched and scarlet, though they be constant and full, your sins are already forgiven. Listen to the word of God. You don't have to ask forgiveness. If you confess your sin, the forgiveness that you've already been given is there, and so he that gives the forgiveness is faithful and just to forgive that sin. It's done. There's a beautiful old hymn, Oh Happy Day, it's called. And there is there in that hymn a beautiful line that says, 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. And isn't it remarkable that because I am my Lord's, my sin, after I have become a Christian, is already forgiven, but I do have to admit it is mine, and I do have to admit that the sin has been committed by me. In other words, I have to own up to the flaw, to the fault that needs restoration. The longer the condition is left, the harder it is to fix. restoration is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would remind you to go and have a good look at the epistles of John, because they're full of wonderful things. As you do, understand what the Word of God is saying to all of us that will trust Him. You will understand very clearly then that God is very concerned with us. He wants us to be a group of people who have peace in our lives, peace that passes all understanding, peace that is beyond the ability of man to comprehend, peace that never passes away. And so I would take you, and I would take a person that needed restoration, into the second chapter of the first epistle of John, and into verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in Jesus ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And so he goes on talking about the commandments of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, he also added, my commandments are not grievous, they're not difficult. You don't have to fall over yourself or strangle yourself trying to get things done. In fact, it is a remarkable thing. It is easy to keep my commandments. What are his commandments? Well, one is that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Another is that we love him and we keep to him only. We don't dilute the word of God that is dwelling inside of us. You see, this word of God brings the saint to the place of confession, relocation. Is delicate work. Only a spirit-filled worker of the Lord dares to try it. Gently, tactfully, lovingly, wooingly, the saint from sin to confession. We have to bring people who are dislocated. We have to bring people who are an open net, a broken net. We have to bring people whose lives are not right back into a beautiful place where we equip them and prepare them for tomorrow. For tomorrow, sin will come. Now, the apostle who wrote the book of Hebrews, I think it's the apostle Paul, but I know there's discussion about that. But the person that wrote the book of Hebrews says, there is a sin that doth so easily attack us, latch on to us, that we fall into. There is a sin that easily overwhelms us. A sin that suddenly rises up and catches us unawares. And yet we know it's there. We know we've in the past fallen into this area of sin, and we know that we have need of more power, more strength, more love, more grace, more of the presence of Jesus, more of the love of God, more about Jesus. So, as saints of Jesus, I would say to you this. The saint needs to come from sin to confession. Not in church, necessarily. I've always found kneeling at my desk or kneeling at my bedside has been sufficient for the Lord to take a hold of me and listen to my confession. As the saint prays and speaks, the Holy Spirit does the work of putting everything right. The joint is healed. It's back in location. It's not dislocated anymore. It is the Holy Spirit that calms the spirit and soothes the soul. It is the Holy Spirit that enters into us and causes us a new relationship with Jesus. We need to understand that dislocated saints can be relocated, and we need not be troublesome. We need not to be critical. Well, dear friends, it's time for me to stop. But I wanted to share that little tidbit with you. It's a very beautiful piece of scripture. I hope it brings to you joy, peace, and hope that you can walk out tomorrow with your head high. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask you that those whose lives are dislocated, they may be healed. Those who have caused offense may find forgiveness. Those that have pretended to forget the offense that they have caused, bring them out into the light, that the light might reveal the darkness within. Lord Jesus, bless us now, and bless your precious word, and cause us to love you more. For Jesus' sake, amen. Hey, thanks for listening. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.